Thank you, Andrea. Well, we're going to spend some time thinking about and talking about and getting acquainted with a figure from American history. You could probably not find a more fascinating figure from American military history than General Curtis LeMay. Perhaps you know he ran with George Wallace as George Wallace's running mate when he ran for the presidency. Perhaps you know him as the man who is attributed to have said the quote about Vietnam, "We'll bomb them back to the Stone Age." Or perhaps you know that the character of Buck Turgidson, played by George C. Scott in the movie Dr. Strangelove, was based on General Curtis LeMay.
Can't you stick to the point, General?
Well, sir, if the pilot's good, see? I mean, if he's really sharp, he can barrel that baby in solo. I mean, you ought to see it sometime. It's a sight. A big plane, like a 52 room. It's jet exhaust, frying chickens in the barnyard.
Whatever knowledge you have of General Curtis LeMay, it's probably mostly caricature. He is certainly one of America's most controversial military figures, and here to relook at Curtis LeMay, the man who arguably won the war against Japan, came up with the tactics of aerial bombing that really were decisive in World War II. Joining us is a journalist and author of the new book, LeMay, The Life and Wars of General Curtis LeMay, Warren Kozak, here in the studio. Warren, thanks so much for coming in.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And it's great to be back with you. We were colleagues at ABC and at NPR eons ago, but enough about that. You know, this is a fascinating character, and, you know, describe the two or three things, and they're all jaw-dropping, that you need to know about Curtis LeMay.
It's an amazing resume. He helped defeat Adolf Hitler. He forced Japan to surrender without an invasion, which probably saved 1 million American casualties and 2 million Japanese lives. In doing that, he also kills more civilians than any other man in U.S. history. And nobody even comes close, not Sherman, not Grant, no one.
How many?
350,000 is the estimate. It could be as high as 500,000.
And he developed the tactics of aerial bombing that were so effective against Japan and particularly against Germany.
Nobody else could figure it out. They send LeMay there in 1945. It's already late in the war. Nobody has dented a roof in Japan. They can't figure out how to get these new huge B-29 bombers to work. He brings them in low. He fills them up with napalm, and he burns one city after another.
What was it about his success in World War II that became the reason for casting him as a kind of a Edward Teller character, almost a crazy person when we got into the Vietnam era? He is a champion of conservatives, but to most Americans, he was viewed as an unstable character.
That came basically from the clip that we just heard, and that came from Stanley Kubrick's brilliant film in 1964, Dr. Strangelove. The fact is, LeMay was not crazy. He was brilliant. I interviewed former Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara for the book, and McNamara called him. And by the way, McNamara and LeMay had epic battles when LeMay
and
was...
And McNamara used to work for LeMay, right?
He worked for him during the war, and then tables were turned. McNamara was his boss when LeMay was on the Joint Chiefs. McNamara was Secretary of Defense. Epic battles. They disagreed on everything in Washington. But McNamara, to his credit, called LeMay the most brilliant military strategist this country has ever produced. I also spoke with Ted Sorensen, President Kennedy's chief aide,
sure,
who called him his least favorite human being. Nobody is on the fence when it comes to LeMay.
Right.
So does this show something about Americans' ambivalence about war, which is that Americans want to win war, they want to support their generals, but they don't actually want to kill anybody?
Andrea, one of the reasons I did this book, I wrote it, I studied him. What fascinated me was, what is it about us that when we are in peril, we need someone like LeMay? And we were in peril in the 1940s. He saved us. And then once he does exactly what we asked him to do, we turn our backs on him because we don't want to be reminded of what he did because it's so horrible.
Remarkably soft-spoken, General LeMay. Here's from a Pathé newsreel after the first B-17 mission over Germany in 1943. They ask him a question just after he lands.
Colonel LeMay, how'd the trip go today?
Well, it went pretty well, except that it was rather dull compared to some that we've had. There weren't many fighters up, and the flak was just moderate and very inaccurate. Weather wasn't so good, especially over the target, mostly 10/10 overcast. However, there are a couple holes around. We managed to get our bombs away through one of them, and the bombardier reports some hits on the target and a lot of them around close to it in the town.
Very matter of fact,
there's something actually fascinating there. He sounds disappointed that there wasn't more more flak. There weren't more fighters up to attack him. He is the only general in World War II that fought in front of his troops. Every time he sent his crews on the most dangerous missions, he insisted on flying the lead plane. Nobody else did that either.
And he was in a battle once a day, basically, for how long?
At least three years.
And General Sherman, General Lee...
17 battles each in their career. In the Civil War, he did one almost every day.
Hundreds and hundreds.
And the battlefield was 25,000 feet above the ground.
Did you find him to be a brave man?
No doubt about it. There's also, in some ways, a self-destructive quality to him that I kept seeing. And the Wallace run is a perfect example of that. George Wallace in 1968 was a racist. There's no doubt about that. He ran as a law and order candidate. That was a buzz term. He was a racist. LeMay was not. He helped integrate the Air Force. Why would he even go with Wallace?
You know, what's fascinating to me, Warren, is that, you know, this is the main selection of the conservative book club. So are you prepared for Sean Hannity saying to you, this is an American hero who was destroyed by the liberal media? Is that a new caricature that maybe is going to rise out of this book?
I don't know what's going to rise out of it. I throw it out there. It's up mm-hmm. to people. There are parts of LeMay that I found astonishing because they refuted everything I thought about him before. During the war, he develops a relationship with Mao Zedong. Here's this anti-communist that they exchange gifts, they exchange letters. Go figure.
And his background, very quickly before we go, he's from Alabama?
No, he's from Ohio.
Ohio, that's right.
From Ohio, dirt poor background. There were times when his family didn't have enough to eat.
Well, it's a fascinating story, not only about General Curtis LeMay, a character like no other in American military history. It's also a story of America itself. The book is LeMay, The Life and Wars of General Curtis LeMay. The author, Warren Kozak, is journalist and author of the book and joined us here in the studio. Warren, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me on.